Time for the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. Oh, verse 1 to 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 17. Fruit of light. Fruit of light. And keep your Bibles open as we go through the sermon. Let us read. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greedy, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Verse 13, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Long reading. As you have seen, verse 1 and 2 is the introduction, obviously. Verse 17 is the conclusion. So we can make a frame, okay? We can make a frame with this. Verse 1 and 2, imitate the Lord. Get to know the Lord. Get to know His love, what He gives. Conclusion, get to know the will of the Lord. One thing is to know the Lord. The other thing is to know the will of the Lord. You're following me? And in the middle of this, there is the fruit of light. Let us read verse 8 all together, because this is the core of this passage. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Okay? So if you know the Lord, you're going to walk in light, and you're going to know the Lord's will. And once you know the Lord's will, you become wise. That's the whole point here. That's why the sermon, this section is the fruit of light. And Paul, he's going to teach us. Paul is a Jewish man. He is a rabbi. And he's going to do what rabbis like to do. They're going to speak from the negative to the positive. Darkness is bad, therefore shine your light. Okay? Remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount? You have heard in the past, but now I tell you. Okay? This is typical of a rabbi. They love to do this. They show you how much you're wrong and then they establish the good. So this is what the Apostle Paul is going to do from this sermon onwards. We already saw the introduction. Get to know Christ. Get to know His love. If you come closer to Him, then you're going to walk in light. First point, fruit of light, which is the positive aspect. Now He's going to establish the negative aspect. Okay? Give no support to darkness. Give no support to darkness. And this we see from verse 3 to verse 6. Very quickly, pay attention. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. Verse 4. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place. Verse 6. Where is verse 6? Let no one deceive you with empty words. Do you get what is he saying? He's saying, do not give support to darkness. Do not give audience. Do not give your ears. Do not give your mouth. Illustration. If everyone watches CNN, CNN is going to be watched forever. If nothing against CNN, okay? Just came up in my mind. But if everybody doesn't watch CNN, CNN is going to go bankrupt. If you give audience, if you give support, they keep going. If you shut the support, if you shut the eyes, if you shut the ears, the things shade. Whatever you feed, grows. Whatever you starve, dies. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He's saying there should be no hint, no saying about sexual immorality. Why? Because it's not only about your lips. Also among you, that thing was extinguished. Let sexual immorality, obscenity, filthy language, swearing, whatever, all this darkness, let this be a subject of the world, not among the church. Why? Because it's a taboo? No. Just because it's not and it should not happen here. Why? We are sons of light. We are fruit of light. We are the light where Jesus shining in our lives. Okay? It's a foreigner concept. Very, very good illustration to honor my dearly mama. I never seen mama coursing, filthy joke, none. And I am the same. Why? Because I don't see she doing, therefore I also don't do. Simple like that. There should be no hint, no coarse joke, no nothing. Forget about those things. Do not give your attention to them. Do not talk about them. And do not do them. Okay? You see here that there is a huge contrast. Very clear. Verse 4. No coarse language, no foolish talk, no swearing, but rather thanksgiving. This is a big contrast. The mouth of the Christian, it's for blessing. Okay? And the second contrast that it's here, it's about the sexual immorality, but you don't see it here. We're going to see only a few weeks from now because it's in verse 21. He's going to talk about husband and wife. And the husband and wife, the bed of the husband and wife should be clean and pure, which is the contrast with the world, with the darkness, with sexual immorality. So Paul established these two contrasts. He says the bad first, and then he speaks the positive, because he's doing just like a rabbi would do. Why would we do all of this? Why would we shine our light? Why would we flee darkness? Why would we not give support to darkness? Verse 5 and verse 6 tells us that. First, verse 5, because you belong to the kingdom of God. You are not idolater. You are not darkness. You were, we read this in verse 8, you were, but you are not no longer. You were son of darkness. Now you're son of God, you're son of light. Therefore, these things should be a foreign concept for you. Therefore, darkness should be far from you. Okay? And the second reason, it is verse 6. Because of the wrath of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such a things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. We don't like to speak about that. We don't like to mention the word wrath, the word condemnation, the word hell, the word eternal punishment. But the Apostle Paul makes clear here. Those who are in darkness, they are under the punishment of God. Therefore, that's why you're not called to be of the darkness. That's why you're called to be a son of light. Therefore, you're called to shine your light. Okay? So because of these two things, you don't belong to darkness, and because of the wrath of God. This is the first point. Give no support to darkness. Our second point. Fruit of light, the positive aspect, what we are. And now he's going to again shine some light in the negative aspect. Separate yourselves from darkness. First, I don't give support. I don't want it to keep going. But now I'm going to separate myself from darkness. Let us read. It's from verse 7. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Let us stop here. This amazes me. Verse 10, find out what pleases the Lord. Okay? The Apostle Paul here is doing something that it's very interesting for our days. He assumes people know what it's right and wrong. And today in our age, people want to redefine what it's right or wrong. What it's wrong for you, maybe it's not wrong for me. What it's right for you, maybe it's not right for me. Right? That's the context we live here. But the Apostle Paul, he assumes that the Ephesians, very newborn Christians, not too long, you know, didn't live their lives always in Christianity, but he already assumes they know what is wrong. And Paul speaks like that. There are two ways someone can teach. He can teach from scratch, so he needs to build everything, or he can teach assuming that most of the crowd have a knowledge about the subject. Some have more, some have less, but at least everybody has a common sense. That's what the Apostle Paul thinks about what is right and wrong. Don't come the world, society, try to redefine what is right and wrong. The Apostle Paul establishing here, deep within, all of us have a common sense about what is right and what is wrong. No matter if you're a Christian, if you're what you choose, in the common sense, in the world, in humanity, historically, all of us know what is right and what is wrong. And he's so sure about that, that he says, let me paraphrase verse 6. He says, let no one deceive you. Okay? Because it is so obviously that he wants you to not be deceived. If I could paraphrase this, it's like this. You know what it's wrong. Okay? Therefore, do not be deceived. Therefore, separate yourself from it. But in verse 10, he uses a word that it's nice. Find out what it's right. It's sure that we know what it's wrong, but we still need to find out what it's right. What is the Apostle Paul saying? He's saying that right, it's something that it's relative? No. He's saying that there is freedom when you do good. When you do what is truthful, righteousness, honest, there is freedom. You're always going to find a way to bless someone. You're always going to find a way to support someone. You're always going to find opportunities to do good. Therefore, he says, find out what it's pleasing. And this word, find out, there is this meaning of like, it is free. It is a lot of options. You can do many ways. But also there is the find out of tasting. Once you do what it's good, you taste that it's good. Once you live in the light, you taste the light is good. When you bless someone, you taste, you find out how good that is. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. When you do what is wrong, you know it is wrong even before you do. But when you do good, you find out, you taste that it's really good. Does that make sense? Since you know what is wrong, separate yourself from it. And this leads me to the third point. Fruit of light reproach darkness. So, before we go to this, this is the very important point. We are transitioning from 2 to 3. To separate from darkness doesn't mean you're going to buy a cottage or you're going to go to Florida, which is the retirement place, right? Yeah. And you're going to live there in a very Christian community with no TV and nothing around you. That's not what does it mean to separate yourself from darkness. Why? Because now you need to reproach darkness. So in order to reproach darkness, you need to be closer. So separate doesn't mean isolation, but also doesn't mean engagement. It just means you're in the world, but the world is not in you. Okay? That's how you're going to reproach the darkness. I am still there. I am still seeing darkness, but I am separate from it. And now I'm going to reproach it. And I believe this is the last point. And I believe this is the core of what the Apostle Paul is trying to teach here. Because he's being very, very evangelistic. Very prophetic. You know the prophecy, like you speak a word, you speak the word of God, and you are waiting for the person to repent, waiting for the person to surrender to Christ, waiting for the word of God to find a place in the heart of the person. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Reproach darkness. He first used the figure of light and darkness. And let us see verse 14. He's going to use a new figure. Look at verse 14. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. First, he used the figure of light and darkness. Now he uses the figure of life and death. Light brings life, darkness brings death. And this is what he's trying to do here. He's not saying about the power of resurrection as he always do. He's talking about you, church, you light your shine on the darkness. Reproach darkness. Do not partner with them in the hope that Christ will shine on them when they repent. In the hope that the death, the person who is in darkness, is going to hear the gospel and is going to accept the message of the gospel. Okay? Illustration. I had some visitors when I was with appendicitis in my home. And I didn't know this. They are super, super hyper. Okay, greater. Give me more adjectives. Hyper, super, exponentially greater against the vaccine and the government. And I am vaccinated. So I was there on the table. And they like, no, I didn't get the vaccine. And I can't believe how you got the vaccine and this. And I am vaccinated. And I'm like, should I tell them I am vaccinated? They're still going to love me? They're still going to hug me? Can I still shake their hands? And they're like, yes, and the government is doing this and the government's doing that. And I'm like, then they laughed. And I felt so bad to be vaccinated. I'm like, oh, man. No, I didn't do. But here's what the Apostle Paul trying to teach us. Jokes aside, craziness aside, he wants us, our light, to shine so brighter in people that people ended up the discussion, the meeting, like I ended up mine, with a question mark in their minds. Am I wrong? Am I different? Am I doing something wrong? Am I not seeing the picture? The Apostle Paul wants us that our light, our Christianity, the good, the honesty, the truth, are so clear to people that once they see their darkness, they're like, what is the difference between me and that person? Am I doing something wrong? Is there something wrong with me? That feeling, that urgency, Paul wants us to be very, very intentional. It's not I shine the light because I'm a good guy. No, that's not what he's talking about. It's not shining the light because it's supernatural. No, it is shining the light with that idea to leave the person who are in darkness with a question mark. Am I doing something wrong? Do I need to change? Should I come to the light like he is in the light? That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. And you see last week, he used the figure of the clothing. Before we used filthy, ripped, old clothing. And the Apostle Paul says, take them off and put on your new clothing, which is washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, which is whiter than the snow, which is beautiful. Put on the new clothing. And that's personal. But now he expands the illustration. Now it's light and darkness. Now it's life and death. Why? Now it's not personal anymore. Now we are talking about the public life. And our light should shine in the darkness intentionally, in the hope that they're going to see their darkness, in the hope that they're not going to feel comfortable, in the hope that a question mark is going to pop up in their minds for the change. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. And he brings it to the conclusion with verse 15 and 17, which is just like wonderful the way he concludes. Verse 17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Okay? He started talking about walk with God. He goes to the middle and he says, walk in the light. Because if you walk with God, you're going to walk in the light. And he finishes it calling you to not be fool, to know the Lord's will. Okay? Then you're going to walk wise. Let me paraphrase this. Understanding the Lord's will because the days are evil. Understanding the Lord's will because the days are evil. A third time, understand the Lord's will because the days are evil. He's not calling us just and only to understand the Lord's will. He's also calling us to understand that the days are. When I was in school to become a pastor, first rule, Gustavo, a pastor should have the Bible in one hand and the newspaper on the other hand. If you master the Bible, but you are foreigner to your context, you have a very, very little use to the community. If you master the times, yeah, I know school is bad. I know university is challenging. I know about our healthcare system. I know politics, it's very hard, gray. And you understand all of this. But you forgot to master the will of the Lord, the Bible. You're also no good. Understand the Lord's will. Read the Bible. Understands it. And communicates it. But also read your context. What are the challenges? What are the need? What's going on? How can we help? How can we shine our lights? How can we engage and make this bridge and make this connection when we don't understand that the days are evil, when we don't understand the context we live in? That's what the Apostle Paul concludes this. You're going to give no support to darkness. You're going to separate yourself from darkness. But you're going to also reproach darkness. And you're never going to do that well if you don't master the Lord's will and if you don't master the context you live in. That's easy to say. Very hard to do. Can you say amen, church? Fruit of light. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to be wise in the context we live in, Lord, and to shine our lights into the darkness. In Jesus' name, amen.